Hey everyone, and welcome to Life Unpodded. Sophie and I speak with a guest today, Rachel Saslow. She is the co-founder of an incredible event that takes place in New York City, and it's called Storytell, where she brings people together to foster a sense of community, intimacy, and ultimately connection. So a big topic of our conversation is really just talking about what's it mean to connect, what's it mean to foster community, and what's our purpose here. So it is an incredible conversation, and I recommend that you absolutely check out Storytell. We'll link all of the information below, but enjoy the conversation. Hey everyone, welcome back to Life Unpodded. This is Sophie here, joined by Daisy as usual, and our guest and our friend, Rachel Saslow. Rachel, I hope I'm saying that right. I know we just talked about pronunciation, not really knowing what pronunciation even is, because it's just words, I guess. But Rachel is a new friend of mine who I met through her community that she hosts, Storytell. I was in New York City, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, visiting New York, and I had the chance to attend one of her events. And I had heard about Storytell. My friend went to it, and being this beautiful place of connection and connectivity. And I was really excited to go to it. I saw it on Instagram. It looked really, really intimate. Just looked like something that I'm drawn to on this journey of waking up and wanting to understand, how do we live a meaningful life? And one of the pillars in my perspective of having a meaningful life is community, connecting with each other, connecting with ourselves. And I think to really deepen our connection with ourselves, we need to connect with other people, because it allows us to feel seen, and it allows us to feel seen in our most authentic versions of ourselves without trying to be anything but that. And that's exactly what I felt at Storytell, honestly. During the event, I was like, wow, like, this is getting deep. Like, people are showing so many different sides of themselves. So Rachel, excited for this conversation. If you want to just introduce us to what Storytell is, would love to hear that, because that's just my brief description from my experience. But you're the founder, and would love to hear about how you started it, what it is, and how it's been going for you.
Totally. I'm so excited to be hanging out with you guys tonight. And Storytell was really built out of personal necessity. I grew up in New Jersey, right outside of New York City, and a lot of my community is in New York. I have friends from camp and from high school and from college, and I've just collected a lot of people in this city. But I've also changed a lot over time, and I've found that a lot of people in my life were no longer sharing the values that I had, the desire to go deep, to get personal, to do more than just like the transactional dinner hangout. I use this like line of like, I remember so vividly and still sometimes get caught in it, where I go out to dinner with a friend and it's just, how's friends? How's dating? How's family? How's work? Okay, let's get the check. And it was so transactional. And being an extrovert and being labeled as an extrovert by my friends, I always felt this need to like live up to having a really full social calendar. But I was finding that I was like really depleted by my social interactions. And what would light me up was actually being in small groups where we're like talking about ideas and things and emotions and experiences and like learning with each other. And I was like, I want to attract those friends. So I just built a container for them to come. And I built that alongside my co-host and co-founder, Samani. We had met at a dinner for strangers, to no surprise. And I was talking about how society puts such an emphasis on like romantic building. And I know that I will like find my person when it's my time, but I live alone. At the time, I was the most senior person in my role at my company, and I'm single. And I wanted to build with somebody. And so across the table, she pointed at me and she's like, I want to build with you. Turns out we were both having the same sort of stuckness and stickiness. I honestly find a lot of people in their like late 20s and early 30s going through a little bit of this like friendship shedding. My sister's going through it right now of just like, who are my people? And these people that I've like always said were my people might not be my forever people. And Storytel has become this like beautiful enmeshment of like campfire stories meets improv meets the moth, in which people share personal stories based on their own life experience. There's a different theme every time, and people will show up maybe having a story in mind, or what's even better is people will hear other stories and then they'll slowly start to put their name into the hat because they get inspired by other people. And it really like reminds us that we're not alone in our human experience, and that even if I haven't experienced the same exact thing that you have, I can empathize with some of the feelings that came out of that, the emotions, the journey that you went through. And it's so healing, and it unlocks such a deeper connection than, I don't know, just meeting someone at a happy hour. So it's been so valuable to me and my co-host, and I keep getting validated by people that this is like what we need as a people right now. And it fires me up about like, what does the future of Storytel look like? But also more importantly, like, how does Storytel play a role in this larger ecosystem of like micro communities? And how do we build more like purpose-driven gatherings?
I'm so pumped from everything you just said. It's so necessary to have these connections where we're seen. I think like the first part of what you just said of it being out of necessity, it's like you weren't being seen even though your social calendar was filled. And yeah. I think it's normalized to think that we aren't going to be deeply fulfilled by our connections because we don't know any better. And I think it's incredible that you have challenged that and created an event that sounds so meaningful. Like, I think back to my experience in college and how, you know, I was in a sorority, and I think I was seeking that deep meaning. And I was in a philosophy class, these two lives. I was balancing, like, which one do I want to choose? Like, this philosophy class where there's a broad range of people, but we're talking about really deep shit. And I'm going to my teacher's office hours, who I go three times a week, because I don't even know what it is we're talking about. But at the root of it, there was like this level of connection. And everything I've seen about Storytel, everything I've seen about or heard about Storytel through Sophie attending and just seeing it online through other friends, is that it's exactly that. It's a place to go to deeply connect and to be seen and to be able to shift who you are and be seen as that person who maybe no one in your life is seeing you in that way. And when I was 25, when I was going through all this, like, this would have given me so much inspiration, seeing other people who were going through the exact same thing, because it's hard to find these communities that are so deep and beautiful and real and rooted in honesty and truth. And I think the more we see these kinds of communities, the more it'll be normalized. And that's so exciting to me. So I just think it's so beautiful that you went out and you created this, because it's something that you needed. And so many people are resonating with it. And I want to attend an event so bad. But I just think that it is something that is contagious. And I'm sure this is going to catch on, and you're going to inspire so many people. And we're going to get into it. But there's something about talking about the truths of life that are deep, that just they connect you with everyone, because they ring true in every single one of us.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's what your events are designed around. So I just think that it's endlessly exciting. There's so much to talk about here.
So sweet. Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting when you were talking, like, you had mentioned about kind of like sharing with new souls. And I find the thing that sparks me the most is to see how strangers hold undivided attention for each other. Like, our attention is one of the most valuable things that we can give to someone. And in a world where we are constantly challenged with where our attention should go, whether that's like our phone, our computer, our work, our school, whatever it is, for everyone to be like off their phones and like completely eyes locked on a complete stranger. And you know what? Like, these are not polished stories. I always say we are here to connect. We're not here to be entertained. And that's really where like there's the fork in the road between storytell and some other storytelling events, where maybe you're coming with a, you know, formalized story that you've practiced and rehearsed. Maybe you're reading off of a piece of paper. Maybe you're on stage with a microphone. Like, this is all very much like from the heart space. And there are some stories that are like kind of meandering and like might bounce back to, oh, I forgot this one little point that was really important 5 years ago. But everyone's just locked in. And I just am in awe of how special that connection can be between a stranger and like a whole room of people that are just like here to hear whatever the heck you have to say. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because we call them strangers, right? Because of like the perceived division we have in society of we're separate. And especially being in a place like New York City, we play these roles of pretending to be people. We put on the mask when we get up, we go to work, and we come home and we show ourselves. Either we show ourselves to ourselves or we don't. And I think the journey that I've been on is really showing myself to me so that I can show myself to the world and realizing I don't ever want to take off the mask. I don't ever want to not be myself. And the reality of it is it's painful. It's painful to be vulnerable because we've been hurt in the past. There's been times where it wasn't safe to express ourselves. And then slowly we learned over time that, you know, the default way of me operating is to just either I'm disassociated or I'm disconnected. I'm trying so hard to fit in. And being at storytelling, I remember there was one guy who was a Chinese immigrant, and hearing him talk about how he created this whole idea of himself throughout his life that like he wasn't valuable to ask girls out. And I resonated with that, of this high school experience of feeling like you're less than. And that's a feeling I felt like my entire life, that I was less than, and I wasn't good enough, and I was weird in high school, and that people didn't like me. And even coming to start the podcast, that's why I had so much imposter syndrome in the beginning, because I would hear every time I'd post on social media, I'd feel so uncomfortable because I didn't know how to express myself. And every time I did, I'd be faced with experiencing this intense judgment that I've had for myself and had to face. Why do I view myself this way? Why do I think so poorly of myself? And it's sad. It's emotional, of like, wow, the stories we can create about ourselves. And I feel like even hearing everyone do that drum roll, like before everyone did the stories, I was like, this is like electric, man. Like, this is, it's almost like a space to face the stories you've been telling yourself. So it's almost like we're telling stories in the sense we're telling stories about experiences that we've had, but we're also letting go of the stories we've been telling ourselves by 100%. Expressing them to a group of people. And the fucking freedom that we can have by being ourselves, it is the most liberating thing that we'll ever experience, I think, in this human experience, is allowing ourselves to be seen. So, like, holy shit. I'm just like, yeah, like, this is so important. And I just think that, like, it's interesting. I noticed that being at Storytell, like, I was scared. I had just, like, got off the flight, and I was, like, going, and I'm just, like, showing to this place, and I'm like, everyone's here. And the girl next to me, she's like, this is my fifth event. I'm like, what? I'm like, all right. And then I'm like, I hear, and then I had this girl like read something really, really emotional. And I was like, wow, okay. But, you know, I'm thinking I want to talk about my experience with my parents, but I don't know, is that too deep? And just, you see, like you said, people starting to go drop their name into the hat as people are expressing themselves. Cause all of a sudden, like, we're always looking around us for validation. We're always looking around us for other people to give ourselves permission to share what we want to share. And I feel like Storytel is really that place where we're like, yep, everything's on the table, but you still see, and I'm curious your experience, like what have you observed from people as through these events of like our human condition and our fear of vulnerability? Like, do you feel the room relax throughout the night? Do you feel a shift in the way that people are experiencing themselves? Do you feel people let go a little bit? Like, I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely think that like the point that we were talking about earlier, where when people hear other people's stories, they get inspired and then they'll put their name in, but also they'll build more courage. And I think that that's like, oh, they went there. Like, I can go there. And we're almost giving each other permission. And I love, you know, it really depends, because the stories really oscillate in terms of how deep they are. Or like sometimes people just like share musings, and you know, that's okay too. But the first like heart opening, like I went deep story that someone felt permission to share in that space, the first time that happens, I feel like it just opens the gates for people to share their story beyond just the play by play, but also the hard stuff that might be tough to admit. Like, learned about a guy in like the mafia one day. Like, we learned about like divorces and like people like owning their wrongs or the challenges that they brought into a relationship. And that's like hard stuff to do. But I think that the anonymity, in a way, like people are becoming friends now and it's becoming a deep community. But because you're generally in a room of strangers, it seems oddly more accepted to share and easier to share. I actually noticed this about myself, which, you know, sample size of one, my observation of the human condition was that as more of my friends started coming, I wanted to share stories less because I was afraid that my friends, or my sister even comes down, my friends' impression of me and the story that they know about me would be challenged by the stories that I told and would almost invalidate my truth. For example, on the outside, like I was raised awesomely. Like my parents are still together. I was raised in a really affluent neighborhood. We're like the perfect nuclear family. We had a dog, you know, lived in the house, the whole thing, whatever. But I had a pretty contentious relationship with my parents up until COVID. And then we had to like face our shit. But like I used to, you know, run away from home and I was grounded all the time. And I dealt with a lot of like verbal abuse. And to share some of that, which might maybe to like my friends' eyes looked really healthy and cozy, and now they're hearing like this other side of it, I would be afraid of someone responding to that story and being like, oh, that's like not how I saw it. Or maybe like not even believing me in a way, because they didn't see that side of the story. And I think that that's like a fabricated thing that I'm probably making up in my head. And the reality that would be like, if they were a good friend, they'd probably say like, wow, I didn't know that side of the story. And like, I'm really glad to have seen like all facets of it. But I find myself getting a little bit more reserved when I'm around people I know and people I'm really close to.
That is an insight that we have talked about before. We have a community Zoom with some amazing community members who join, and we just have these kinds of conversations weekly. And we were all kind of joking about bringing our parents to the Zooms because everyone was like, oh, the story of insert person would really come out. It's like people who have known us our entire lives, it's so hard, or we think it's hard, to shift our relationship to them because we're both holding each other accountable to the story of what we always have been. And that is so limiting because of course you're so much more than what your upbringing looked like to this person. And the friends who are coming to your event are so much more than how you've seen them. But for some reason it feels awkward to break that. You know, you said that during COVID you went through stuff with your parents, and that's awkward. I've been there too. And it's so awkward, probably the most awkward with your family as it can get. But friends from past lives, second is awkward. And it's beautiful when one person has enough courage to break that because it can deepen the relationship. And, you know, that is what everyone wants. You know, that's why we're so lonely. Yeah. In our friendships we've had for years, or we can be so lonely in those kinds of friendships because we don't know how to go deeper. And, you know, I think I'm sure there's people who have came to your events with friendships, to deepen their friendships too. Like, it sounds like at the event, you know, when someone goes up there, and I got chills when you said that, of, you know, the first heart opening story. It's like, I don't think there's anything more healing than as a collective viewing pain as beauty, because, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about this a lot, you know, there is no beauty without pain. They're one and the same. Pain is beautiful. Truly. When it's observed by the collective. And another reference we made recently in one of our community Zoom chats was that, you know, at the end of a movie, you know, no matter what has happened in life, you know, whether it's been good or bad, painful, because it all happened, it's beautiful. And it's almost like you can encapsulate that feeling within a story, a movie. And mm-hmm. within your storytell events, like, it's all about connecting and storytelling. And there's just something beautiful about the art of storytelling that allows you to have perspective or zoom out and just be in the moment and see it for what it is, see life for what it is. And I think when we are connected, we aren't thinking, of course. We're not thinking about the story of ourselves. We're just existing. Mm-hmm. We joke that personalities like don't exist, because they're simply just our conditionings and stories that we've told from ourselves. Like, at the core, totally. Like, we all just want to be like a bunch of kids at a sleepover giggling and laughing. And, you know, it sounds like that's what your event kind of embodies. And I think that that is beautiful. And I'm curious how hosting these events have impacted your life, how it's changed your life. To be able to hold this space and also participate in this space on a regular basis.
Yeah, it has changed my life point blank. I now am like surrounded by like-minded, curious, introspective, like down to go there kinds of people. It also like boosted my confidence a lot to build something that people really found so valuable. And I've always had this like entrepreneurial bone in me, but I have a bit of like, you know, perfectionist syndrome, or like everyone's already done it. And I can guarantee there's hundreds of storytelling events out in the world, but like, why is this one so special? Like, there is a special sauce that comes out, like, in the way that we host it, in the rituals we have, in the space that we create, in the people that we attract, that makes it unique. And like, there's room for that. There's space for that. It's been incredibly healing to, like you shared, like, allow for myself to rewrite my own stories. And that could be like telling the same story twice, but in like completely different ways and with different like insight from it. And allowing for other people to rewrite their own stories right in front of us, to hold space for people like crying and laughing and just experiencing the full spectrum of what it means to be alive, and holding that all in one beautiful space. And it's equally been challenging to see it grow so much, but realizing the importance of maintaining the intimacy to allow for these events to be what they are. Because if I followed the demand, we'd be in like a much bigger space. We'd probably have a stage, but like, I need to make sure that we are at our foundation, holding on to the values and what makes it so special to even just show up and take your shoes off. So now everyone's socks are visible. And there's something so vulnerable about being your fucking socks. It's like, what's under those cute shoes of yours? Like, you're wearing cats on your feet? I'm literally wearing cat socks right now. And just setting that stage, having people like cuddled up on the ground, sitting on couches together, like that environment can't be lost, because all of these micro aspects create a space that makes people feel okay to share. And it's truly been so, so special, and makes me feel like I am so in flow with what I feel like I'm like meant to do on this world. And I say that with quotes, because I think that, I don't know, I don't believe in like fate and destiny, but like, my soul sings when I do this. And I'm lit up by being a connector and by being a holder of that space and by enabling people to experience the fullness of being alive. And that's an honor. That's just a real honor.
That's beautiful. I really resonate with taking off the shoes, because it's like you feel like you're in like your home with your friends.
Yeah.
I've had so many thoughts as we've talked, as you guys have been talking, because I'm like, there's so many things to talk about. And I want to go back to what you were saying about, like, I feel like within community, it's like we create the ability, we create this container to break that fear of being perceived. And it feels like the fear of being perceived is really prevalent in all of our lives. And, you know, it could take the form of expressing yourself online, but really just the fear of being ourselves. And it's interesting you're talking about, like, your upbringing and kind of this disconnect that we have with, that I experienced with expressing myself on Instagram. I had posted on TikTok for a while. And then when it came to expressing myself on Instagram with people from my high school, I had to face a lot of discomfort. And it's interesting because this is like the biggest thing I've realized. Like when we go through that, we're so scared because we're like, how are people going to perceive me? I'm showing them a part of myself. You know, no one ever knew that I was a deep thinker. No one ever knew these things. And it's like, why is that so uncomfortable? And what I've come to realize is because we don't even know how anyone else has perceived us. Mm. We are faced to confront our own story we've been telling ourselves about who we are. So it makes me wonder how much of yourself told yourself the story that, you know, you were this person who came from the affluent neighborhood who had this perfect life, in a tactic like we do to not face the truths of our own life. And I look back on, I used to say like my childhood was perfect. And I look back and it's like, no, like I was like going through a lot of shit in high school and middle school and like verbal abuse and being bullied. And I blocked that out of my mind, simply point blank. And a lot of what we talk about now is kind of waking up to the emotions we've suppressed throughout our life, the feelings that are there. And that's required me to sit through what's felt like I'm dying at times, like the deepest of pain. And I'm curious if that resonates. And I'm curious if, how has this been experience of shifting the way you view yourself been? Has it been a difficult one to confront that you're not the Rachel that maybe you thought you were? Is it, have you been able to see that the story that you think all these people have of you, maybe they don't even, and maybe the story that you've been telling yourself or the way that you view other people, and kind of like Daisy was saying, we have to free each other. As long as we keep believing or being scared to express ourselves around the people that know us, we're holding them hostage to the story that we think they're going to judge us. But who's beneath that story? Who's beneath the people we've known all these years? What has been going on in their house? What has been going on in their life? And we realize we're really not different after all, but we just have, with the people that you've known longer, you've more heavily invested in a narrative of who you think these people are. But beneath that are like this like heart that's begging to just be seen and validated. And I just think that like there's something so powerful about letting those people from your world come into this storytell and letting them see you in a new light. And I'm sure that's really uncomfortable. And I'm sure that's so scary. And I've experienced this too with like posting on Instagram. But then I have friends, I'm like, wow, I want to do that. I'm really inspired by that. And you realize that like, we're all waiting for each other to give ourselves the green light. And especially, I've seen this in my family dynamics, breaking this narrative of like, my parents are not who they think they are. Wow. My parents have a lot of trauma. Wow, my dad's dad died when he was 5. Wow, my mom went through all this stuff in her childhood. And I've been so scared to be vulnerable with them. Like the truth, it's like the most profound thing of this existence we have in life is facing truth. And I feel like that's just what was going through my mind as you're like describing this upbringing. And, you know, we always think people who grow up affluent, life's perfect. Or people who grow up in a upper middle class family, it's like, oh, you have money, everything's perfect. And it's just, we have to debunk that because that should never get in the way of us facing the truth of like, life's fucking hard, no matter where you grow up, no matter what life you have. Like, we all have to deal with the trauma of the human experience. So definitely resonated with that component. And I'm curious to hear more on it.
Yeah, it's interesting. So much there. It's so interesting to hear you talk about truth, because I've been grappling a lot with this like concept of truth, because I don't know how many things in this world are true, capital T true. I've been, yeah, exactly. Capital T true. And there's like a my truth. There's a Sophie's truth. There's a Daisy's truth. But it's really interesting to hear you reflect, Sophie, about like, it's like we need to let each other go. We need to give each other the green light, because I almost feel like I can't rely on anybody to give me the green light but myself. Like, to be seen, that has always been something that I've wanted since I was so young. And I feel like that was just a craving that I had from others that I wasn't able to give to myself. And I'm now able to see the full spectrum of myself. I've really been trying to embody this concept of duality. And this has come up. My cousin was like going through like mental health experience, and she was put in touch with a therapist that practiced DBT, or dialectical behavioral therapy, which is this type of therapy that really focuses on the idea that two seemingly opposite things can coexist at the same time. So I can have a lot of friends, but I can also still feel really lonely, and letting those two dichotomies coexist. And I always felt like I had a reputation to uphold in how people perceived me, but that meant that I can't be the opposite of whatever that is. So during COVID, I went through a huge identity crisis, because everyone was like, you're so extroverted. You travel all the time. You're always so busy. You're so full of life. And now I'm like stripped down to making banana bread in my parents' house at the age of 30. You know, like I was stripped of all of these things that I thought I stood for, or that I thought stood for me. And I've been able to hold more opposing things within myself and see myself more fully, rather than asking others for permission to see me. Because I don't think at the end of the day that anyone will ever, ever, ever fully see me. I don't think it's possible. I can only see myself, and I'm changing all the time. We can perceive each other and we can see parts of each other, but that's also through a primed lens of all of the stuff that you've gone through as a human. And so to like see my truth, like what does that even really mean? And as you were also talking, Sophie, I was thinking about these systems that have been put in place since we were young. If you're the kind of kid that like wants to pace back and forth in the back of the classroom, you're getting a call home. If you're like not performing to standards at work that your one boss has decided is like the standard for how you're supposed to act, your fate in your livelihood is put into the hands of one individual and their one perception. Like, I've been burned by that in my career. And we are taught that we need to shrink into these boxes to be perceived in a way that is good and that is safe. And if I act out of that, I get a call home. If I act out of that, I get a warning, or I'm put on a performance plan. And we have such freedom, I think, at this stage in our lives. Maybe this is like a coming of age story. Like once we've passed by a lot of like the educational systems and these like norms that have been put upon us, and now we get to kind of rewrite our own books, or we've found our own rhythm, or have found other people that speak our language and value the same things that we do. Are we finally able to like spread our wings and trust ourselves a little bit more, that my honesty and my true self is what belongs here, and that I have the agency, that if my true self doesn't belong here, that I have the confidence to leave and to go find that elsewhere, and to know that that exists somewhere else. And I don't think I had that courage as a young kid. Like I needed to follow the blueprint. I wanted to achieve success. I wanted to be independent. I wanted to get good grades. I wanted my parents to not be mad at me. I didn't want to get punished. You know, I had so many things working against me to put me into a box. And like, who's to blame? Is that the system? Is that our parents? Like, we're all just trying our best. Like my parents were just trying to teach me good manners and how to like be safe in this world. But life isn't always about being safe, you know? Or it's finding safety in your own corners.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't help but think, with everything you just said, everything is traumatic that you just said, you know? And I say that in a sense of life everyone is telling us to not be ourselves. And that's why we wake up one day and we feel so discontent with ourselves, because we have not been in our bodies. We've been disconnected. We've been a ghost of who we are. And that's why I love this idea of, you know, coming home to yourself, despite going through college, the education system, early career with like getting put on, you know, performance plans, getting in that authoritarian component of like, I'm so afraid. I'm so out of fear. It's like everything's out of fear. Yeah. And it comes to a point where we wake up one day, and we, you know, we've all had this experience of, well, who am I? What am I doing? And, you know, my life on paper looks totally fine, but I don't feel whole. I don't feel complete. I don't feel like I am me. And it's because we've lived our entire lives trying to not do that, because where we pick up that that's not how you're successful. That's not how you create a life. You just have to be a certain box. You have to morph in to be a certain thing. And none of that is on purpose. This is just the confusion of the human experience, of the human path. But I feel like there is this level of beauty that comes to watching your childlike self that sees the world in wonder. You know, they can't die. That's always inside of you. But watching that come back to your human version of yourself now, like watching these two things come back together, it's like that's when you're able to have this level of presence of like childlike wonder, because you're acknowledging all of those things that you've gone through in your life where you've been so hard on yourself because, you know, you upset your boss or you didn't get the right grade, or, you know, these things that we carry within us that we don't take time to recognize. And I say we don't take time to recognize because we're so focused on the external experience of life of, am I getting a raise at my job? Am I getting the next path? Am I on the path to get onto the next path? Am I meeting the right partner? Am I having kids? These things are so held at the center of our life, and that's okay. Nothing's wrong with that. But I think we have to come home to ourselves in order to actually, you know, see the color of the grass turn green as we enter spring, in order to actually see the person in front of us who that we love, our family, our friends that we love, to actually see them, we have to see ourselves. And it's normalized, I feel like, in our society to go so long without seeing ourselves. And that's really sad because, you know, the healing starts when we can actually see who we are, not who we've thought we've always been. And there's also something to be said about going to a space, not even knowing anyone, but witnessing yourself be witnessed by others who are welcoming who you're bringing, mm-hmm. your whole self, who you are. It's a confidence builder. It's a reminder of, I'm not all of these conditionings or these stories. It's a beautiful time to reconnect with, you know, everything that you are. And that's not always beautiful. It's painful, but
our beauty, like, is pain.
Beauty and pain, you know, they go hand in hand. That's what makes it all so beautiful.
But we're the lucky ones that get to have this awakening and this breakthrough to come home to ourselves. Like, I try to think, I want to be a mom. Like, how do I build a world for my future kids? Or how do I build a world for even just the people that I interact with on a daily basis? How do I make it so it's, so I'll never know, but that I will give them a likely chance of having this breakthrough, that despite like the behavioral norms and the signposts for what success means in society, that like you are full and loved in your most full embodied self-expression. And like the only thing I can think of, or one of the things I can think of, is just like radical acceptance of that person. But even thinking from like a parenting perspective, and I haven't read any parent books or anything, I feel like it's got to be somewhat intuitive, but.
Oh man, that's a whole, I'm like, oh my God, how do you do that?
A whole thing. Like, I want my kid
to know what the guardrails are and not like fly off their desk and, you know, spitballs at people, you know, just because it's what they felt like doing at the time. To hold both like the freedom that I want to evoke in my like future kin and also the acknowledgement of the society that we live in, you know?
I feel like that and kids and people around us, like it really comes back to this. It's not even what you're saying. It's the energy you're eluding. It's, am I, for example, in a conversation with somebody, am I saying what I really want to say? Or am I saying something out of fear of making someone uncomfortable? Am I filling in the pauses because I'm scared of silence? Am I really comfortable with my being? Am I really comfortable with not, you know, it's so multifaceted. Like everything we talk about on this podcast, like a big thing we talk about is like working through our emotions, like not reacting to the anger, you know, letting ourselves feel the sadness, letting ourselves feel the pain. Because so much, I think, of what causes a lot of this is us just showing up not as us. And it's like, who are we really? It's like, okay, how do we embody true presence? How do we really be here? It's asking the question, am I really being here? Or am I being controlled by the mind? Am I being controlled by my thoughts? And I think when you experience someone in true presence, you will feel it. And that feeling is the most contagious feeling. It's not anything you even say. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's like, you know, hearing someone express something, oh, I haven't heard that, but it's, wow, I feel you. I don't feel you trying to change yourself. I don't feel you angry. I don't feel you being controlled by anything. I feel you in like this full embodied presence. Yeah. And going back to like what Daisy was saying, like been thinking about mortality a lot recently and just, all right, we're going to die one day. And that's a really uncomfortable thing to sit in. And what does that mean? And it's really, again, there's duality, non-duality. We rotate the spectrums of both, you know, we're everything on this universe, but we also have this experience of being here. Like, I know I'm not Sophie. I know that that is just the experience that that's been created through my mind, and that there's just one consciousness and we're all experiencing it. But we also do have to be in duality, be in this experience. And it's like, as we're in that, how do we make the most out of life? And I think it really comes back to recently, like true presence, like true relaxation. And I think we think so much of, oh, okay, wow, like we're having all these realizations. How do we let other people know? And we realize like it's not even something we have to let people know. It's nothing we can even force. It's like true embodiment of oneself is the most, it's like the map, it's like self-actualization. It's like the highest map level of consciousness. It's like you're operating on like the highest possible frequency you can operate at. And I think that's why I've seen people in my life, my family has changed. My mom meditates 5 days a week now. My dad's processing his trauma from his childhood because yes, I've talked to my mom, but it's a feeling because I let go. You know, it's mm-hmm. always a two-way street. And it's like the beautiful thing of like the collective and this world is that we really are all one. We really are just looking at different versions of ourselves. So when we can be our truest full version, I truly believe that is when other people see it in themselves. And it's happening behind the scenes, the subconscious mind, man. Like if you're with someone who's really, really, really relaxed, you might not even know it. But in a week from now, you might be thinking, oh. First, it's like, what is it about that person? Okay, you start thinking, and it's like, I've seen this in dating. Like, oh, I'm really yeah. drawn to that person. It's like, because they represent something to you. They represent freedom. We're just embodying freedom, and I don't even think freedom is anything we say. It's a state in which we act. It's a state in which we experience. It's a state in which we interact. And I think it's like the most powerful, profound state we can be in is true presence, true love. And yeah.
Yeah, and that, like, it's so interesting to see that parallel of like, if you can show up as your truest, fullest embodied self and give yourself that freedom to exist in your honest truth, in your truth, it gives others permission to do the same. And it was interesting, like one of your first questions was like, what have I noticed about the human experience in storytelling? And I said that, you know, when one person shares a story, it will sometimes give other people the confidence. It's like we mirror in each other and we give each other, like if I give myself the green light, if I give myself the space to be my full self, then someone else feels like they can give themselves that gift. And that's just like a micro snippet of this maximalized ideal of what it means to be human and to give ourselves freedom to then give others freedom.
It's not easy being human, and we need each other. Even if we're not going up to someone and saying, I need you. I need you to do something for me. It's just being in the presence of other people. You know, think of the days where, you know, days go by and you haven't left your apartment, maybe COVID, maybe something like that, where you just start to feel like you don't know who you are anymore. And there is something around being in the presence of other people that, you know, in a good way or a bad way, they can impact you. They can leave a mark on you, because we all are pulling from the same energy source. We all are connected in that way. You know, the way that if someone is driving down the street, I know you're in New York, but if I'm driving and someone, you know, is so angry and they really just try to pass me really fast and they almost hit me, which happens all the time here in Austin, I feel like I can have that negative angry energy can be contagious. If I'm like a little bit, I don't know, I'm a little bit angry on the inside, but I don't realize it. And that happens to me, that can set me off, you know? Or we can have the awareness to be like, right, that doesn't have to set me off. I see that someone's suffering and I'm not going to let that. I'm rooted in what my energy is right now. Mm. I think the same thing is to be said, you know, if you're teetering on the side of sad or, you know, not doing too great, and you go to a community space like Storytel and you see all of these people drawing names out of the hat and they're having heartfelt stories and sharing real things, that's also contagious. And that can also take you from a state of feeling sad, alone, and bring you to a state of connected to that energy. So I think it's important to recognize, you know, energy is something that is inherently in everything that we do. It's everywhere. It's something we can't deny. Even if we just pack up our lunch and go to work every day and come home and we're just feeling meh, the energy is still there, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. So that's where I think, you know, having this third place, if you will, is so impactful, because it can totally change the entire direction of your day, because it helps you get out of your mind. It helps you get out of your stories that you're telling yourself. The more we frequent these spaces, the less time we spend in our head, the more time we spend in presence and reality. And if it's in a loving space like Storytel, more time we spend in love. And that can have impacts on us that help us realize our potential. You know, Sophie and I started this podcast in a confusing time, the last 3 years, identity crises all over the place. And, you know, it's been a really difficult journey. I've had a difficult time letting go of stories of who I thought I was, because they provided a level of comfort. And what I've learned is that it's really hard to be who you are and to embody yourself. It takes a lot of practice to truly embody yourself. And having gone through a lot of this in a remote era, I'm seeing how desirous it is to be seen by other people, even if they don't even know what's going on. It's just a matter of being seen. And I think there is just a power to that. And it's probably why we're seeing all of these community spaces pop up, because it is a human need. It is a human necessity. And a lot of people have gone through a lot of change in the last years, because there's been a lot of collective change, collective experiences that we all went through that were challenging. And people are looking to heal from that. People want to heal. We just have to keep swinging the bat. And having a room full of people cheering us on is only going to help every single person have a stronger connection to themselves and who they are. And like the work you're doing by hosting and holding the space for people, like, it's beyond an impact that you can even comprehend. If one person lights a flame and another person, it's all of these ripples begin. And I know early on in the conversation, you were like, if I were to fill the demand, then it would not be what it is. But it's also, you know, maybe that'll leave space for someone else to open this up and put their own flair on it and their own experience on it. And then, you know, it's not a this space that we're in of, I don't even know what you call it, of healing, of living, of being present. It's not a competition. It's a, please, what I'm doing can't be replicated. Please do it because you need to do it so that other people can do it. And everyone can just be more connected and be more happy. And it's really beautiful to see that you're doing that. It really, really is. It makes me feel warm inside.
I also want to, Rachel, I'm curious. Like, I feel like when we started this podcast, I dealt with a lot of insecurities of like, this is weird. This is like, I'm talking about emotions. Like, it's taken me a really long time to get comfortable and see, wow, oh, this is really important, beautiful stuff. I'm not embarrassed of this at all. I'm fucking proud of this. This is like, when you recognize yourself in everyone, you realize we're all suffering. And I'm curious, like, did you deal with insecurities of hosting the event as like, I think of like, the thing we've talked, Daisy and I have been talking about, like, community's been stigmatized. It's like, you think of religion as like the main place people get their community. Or like, I remember listening to this podcast. It was like, the library has been stigmatized. Like, all of our third places have been stigmatized. So it's like, did that come across with you at all? Like, the insecurity of holding a vulnerable space? Or were you from the beginning confident and comfortable in that being an important need?
I think when it came to holding that vulnerable space for people, that's something that I always have done with my friends and like on an individual level. So this just felt like, you know, turning the dial up a little bit more. But there was a lot of imposter syndrome in what I was speaking to earlier, which is like, there are so many community events and there are so many storytelling events. Like, why would someone come to mine? Like, there's nothing different about what I'm doing. People wouldn't show up. People wouldn't pay. And I think that, like, it sounds cliche, but like, everyone has their own voice and their own flavor and their own unique perspective to bring to the world. And the magic of my perspective and my experience with my co-host's perspective and experience and the room we hold for everybody in the room, like, that's our special sauce. And sometimes you can't name it. And sometimes it's made me feel a lot more confident in other parts of my life, even like when it comes to dating. I'm like, oh, like, I'm not that special, or I'm just another girl. I'm just, you know, like, it's not that exciting that I do this. Or like, oh yeah, I'm like a product marketing director, but like, yeah, it's like, nobody, like, everybody, you know, there's a lot of product marketing directors out there. And just like feeling very like modest, or that like I didn't deserve like my sparkle. And Storytell like reminds me, it is not just me, like, it is very much the collective that is the magic, but is to be able to hold the container for other people to like add their sparkle and to like bring a lot of glitter along with it is really the magical thing. But like you said, Daisy, like, it isn't a competition, and this is like, humans are craving this so, so deeply, and we need this so badly. I even think just around like the societal trends around technology and AI and like not knowing what's real or what's not. And this is just like the most primitive human thing. It's all in person. We don't have any live stream. Like, the digital touch is like very subtle and few and far between. It's just from like a ticketing perspective that you're going to hear from us socially. But like, I think we're like craving analog. I think we're craving the origin of what it means to be a human.
And we may not have any capital T truth, because everything in reality is uncertain. Everything in this universe is uncertain, but everything's wonder. But maybe that is a truth that we all do want to connect. And that, to me, it's like, when I was thinking about death the other day, I'm like, how do I want to spend this life? It's like connection, conversation, expression. It is, to me, I feel like the core of this existence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This has been a beautiful conversation.
It has. I feel really good.
That's a good sign.
You feel relaxed?
Yeah. I feel like the perfect combination of like lit up and at ease.
We're expressing ourselves and you're expressing yourself. And that's the beauty of all of this. It's like, when we just express, we're free. We're at ease. We're relaxed. And that's, I think being relaxed in life is the goal. Like, how can I really be here? Is there anything you want people to know about Storytel who are listening? Will you be expanding cities ever? Or are you just focusing on New York right now? For anyone in New York, you know, where can they find you? Just anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, definitely. So we are a two-woman show right now. We host Storytels twice a month in New York City, and we drop tickets on Storytel NYC on our Instagram. And we have had people host their own Storytels in cities like Mexico City and Berlin and Pittsburgh. And we want to continue to enable people to bring this to their communities. So I'm working on like a Storytel host handbook. And if that's something that you're excited about, you can also just DM us. And I would love to share that with you. As for expanding in New York City, like, this is just our side hustle, our side project. And I promised myself that no matter how we expanded, it needed to be fun and it needed to feel good. And so every step of the way, I'm thinking about, would hosting this three times a month feel good? And right now it doesn't. And like, two times a month feels really good for me, but it could grow in the future. I think there's a lot of different ways it could grow. But if you just like want to talk about community, if you want to talk about how to like create belonging and how to make your gathering, even if it's not Storytel, but how to make your gathering feel safe for people to go there and to have these deeper conversations, and you're craving some of that energy, then yeah, please DM us on Instagram. That's where you can find us.
Is there anything you would tell to someone who wants to build a community that you didn't know before you started Storytel, or is that you're learning that you think it's like would be helpful to share about community building in general?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think the obvious one and the one that I learned very quickly was like, you have to build for yourself first, and you have to believe that other people are craving the same thing as you, even if it's like, I don't know, Dungeons and Dragons or like a really niche book club because you only like reading books about cowboys. Like, someone's going to be down. And I think that there are like hobby-based gatherings, but then there are also like values-based gatherings. And I wouldn't say that everyone that comes to Storytel is like, I love storytelling. They're like, I want deeper connection. I want meaningful relationships. I want to be vulnerable and intimate with people. And sometimes it's important to think about what are the values of the people that you want to attract, and what would a potential gathering be that would attract those kinds of people. And then I also think, which I've stolen from Priya Parker, is the concept of you have to exclude to include. And hosting a gathering doesn't mean just like spamming all your friends and inviting as many people as possible. It's about being really intentional with who you're inviting, but also setting finite rules for the space that you hold. So for example, for us, like, we always take off our shoes. Like, that's a thing. An unspoken rule is that like nobody's on their phone. But there are some things that you can be really direct and upfront about that you want people to kind of suspend their reality for, to create a really special intimate space that you're hosting in. And
I just want to go back to what you were saying about, which is something I've been thinking about a lot. I was listening to Rick Rubin on Andrew Huberman, and I've just been like in the Rick Rubin era. I know that you DM'd
me. We're both reading the same book. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like everyone is reading it right now. But one of the things he said is like, people don't know what they want. And he kept mentioning these musicians who like Metallica, or who thought about not sharing their music the way they wanted to, because they wanted to fit a certain mold. And I've found this in building Life Unpotted and thinking about, oh, like, is that weird to talk about, or is that too niche? And it's like, it's so interesting how we doubt that, because we look at what's already out there as the maximum of what can exist. We look at all the things out there and we say, okay, great. If my idea is not in there, it's no good. We undermine our ability to innovate, and we undermine our ability to create beyond what already exists. And that's in the creative act. He said, creativity is bringing something into existence that does not exist or might exist in different parts. And like you're saying of like, oh, the fear of other people already do it. No idea is ever the same. We're always putting our twist to it. So I think that's so important to highlight to anyone who's looking to create something. Makes me think of Gary Vee, where he's like, people, if you were started a podcast on Barbie and then Mattel would have contacted you when they started the Barbie movie, like, no niche is too niche. And I don't know. I think, like, I'd love to hear if you have any more thoughts on that, because I think this is really, really important to highlight for anyone out there. Like, don't be afraid to be different. And I think that is kind of you plunging into the unknown of, like, I'm going to do this because I want it and my people will follow. And we have there's so many people out there. And what I'm seeing is, like, the right people will find you. And that's why it's so important to stay true to yourself, because it's easy. I'm going to give up of, like, oh, like, no one's going to find it. It's like, no, don't change yourself so you can be a success right away. Stay mm-hmm. true to you so that you can actually be true to what you want, and those people will find you.
Yeah. Like, don't dilute yourself. Don't try to be the vanilla palatable version of yourself. I heard from Mari Andrews, like, be the whiskey. Like, be the drink that not everybody likes, but the drink that some people really love. And let that be your guiding light. Even if you're starting a small gathering with, like, three people, or even, like, okay, I've been to gatherings where it's like a very niche experience, and they say, okay, I'm inviting two friends, and each of you bring a friend that you think would benefit or benefit from or enjoy this event. And so now you've, like, multiplied the size of your event by two. Yeah, I think that the more you dilute yourself down and the more that you just try to be palatable to everyone, the less you they're going to feel and the less drawn to it that they're going to want to, you know, experience from it, because there's something that's hiding there. And it's just a pure luxury to get to experience someone in their fullest truth. And I think that that's what a lot of people at Storytel get to experience about me and my co-host, is, like, in our purest, most human form. And that's all you can give to the world, isn't it?
That's as good as it gets, right? Yeah. There, giving your full self to the world. And it's a tough world. So finding the intentional space to do so is beautiful. Having the opportunity to do so is absolutely beautiful.
And giving it to yourself.
Yeah.
Give your full self to yourself.
And I was just going to say, experiencing the world through the lens, through the eyes of someone who is giving the full world themselves, yes, is, you're going to experience life that way. And that's what's mm-hmm. going to inspire everyone around you. And that is an honor to get to live life that way, or to strive mm-hmm. to live that life as often as you can.
I was just going to say, that's why it's so important not to, like, we're always trying to get everyone to like us. And I feel like when you're creating something, creating community, like, it's the opposite. Like, you don't. And I experienced that when I first started posting on social media. It's like, I don't need my friends from high school to like this content. Like, it's for everyone. But I think we limit ourselves when we try to go too big in building, trying to encompass, like, every fish in the pond, instead of saying, let's find those fish who really want to be here. And then from there, we'll grow. So I think that piece of advice about community building was really important. And I think I might have cut you off if you had something else to add about community building. You mentioned being true to yourself. Forgot the second
exclude
one.
Exclude to include.
Exclude to include. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah. Those are the main pillars. And also just try it. Just try it. I like to say, try it on. It's just like, you're at the store and you're, like, putting on a different shirt and you're, like, seeing how you feel in that shirt. And it's, like, not forever. And it's, like, super low stakes. And, like, how do you lower the stakes for yourself so that it just feels like you're trying something on? And if it sticks and if it feels good to you, not to other people, but to you, then keep going. And if it doesn't feel good to you, then all right, you take the shirt off, you put on another shirt.
So simple, right? It's like, then all the self-created pressure comes in. It's crazy how, like, why can't it just be that simple? If I'm going to build this passion project just to try. But for us, it was like, what are we going to say in the podcast? Yeah. Who's going to listen? Like, fucking panicking. So it's a refreshing insight, definitely.
Mm. It's been such an awesome conversation. I know. What a joy.
Well, I'll formally thank you, Rachel, for being here and taking part in a conversation and sharing yourself with us and our listeners and with yourself, most importantly.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been an honor, truly.
I wonder where that originated. Like, it's been an honor. Like, the courtroom?
I feel on. Yeah. It's been a pleasure. It's been enjoyable. It's been heartwarming and enlightening and eye-opening and freeing and safe to talk to you both.
Sounds like a Storytel event. So thanks so much, Rachel, for being here. Thanks. Super excited to attend another Storytel. Maybe we'll help you host it in Austin. Who knows? But
yes,
excited for our friendship nonetheless. Excited to be connected on this journey. And thanks so much for being on the podcast, for sharing your journey. And I'm sure our listeners will really enjoy this conversation. So it's been a pleasure.
A pleasure.